Do you like following the rules? Some people consider it a badge of courage to be a rebel, a rule breaker. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
We need rules and regulations. If you have rules and regulations, you couldn't even got here this morning. You wouldn't even been here at church because somebody had been driving on the wrong side of the road. Somebody had been at that red light and said, you know what, I don't want to wait on red light. In fact, red is not my favorite color. If they put my favorite color up here, I would stop and go right through the light and hit somebody. We need laws to govern us. But because lawlessness will abound, what? The love of many will grow cold. Do we not see the love of many? We're more polarized today in our culture than ever before in my lifetime.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
When God wants to do a greater work in the world, He looks for men and women who will faithfully carry out that work. Hello and welcome to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Al is the pastor of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. We come in our study of the book of Acts to chapter 13 today. It's here we'll glean insights into the call of God. Many people grieve over their inability to discern God's will for their life. But it doesn't have to be that way at all. From Acts chapter 13, here's Pastor Al.
We are in Acts chapter 13. We're only going to look at three verses here. I've entitled this message, Under New Management. Amen. And when you go to a store and you see that sign on the window or whatever, you know that it's no longer business as usual, that there's been some change. Amen. And I believe as believers that the church ought to have a sign, you know, out there in the front of the building. It says, under new management. We behave differently than the world. Why? Because we're under new management. Old things have passed away. All the old ways your daddy taught you and all those things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. We are under new management. Amen. In our text today, we find three evidences of a church that is under new management that I want to share with you today. And I know God's going to bless you through His Word. And I believe it's an important message for us today because in these troubling times, it's good for the world to not just hear the church, but to see the church. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean simply that you and I are the most important sermon people will ever see. And may God help us to be a people whereby the gospel is not just heard from Calvary Worship Center, but they see it here at Calvary Worship Center and through the members of Calvary Worship Center throughout their community. You know, we're called to be salt of the earth, Jesus said. We're salt of the earth. I believe that every church that is declaring the truth of God's word is a salt shaker. And that people think, well, no, we're a salt block. Well, this is a salt block. But when you leave here, God is dispersing you throughout the community to your vocation, to your school, to your job, or whatever it is. And you are to season the place that you land in. Amen? Amen. And so it is with the church. But we cannot do that unless our lives are under new management. Amen? Amen. So let us read verses 1 to 3, and then when we get into the text here, the Bible says in chapter 13 of Acts, verse 1, now the church that was at Antioch, this is Antioch of Syria, there were certain prophets and teachers. Here's the church staff of Antioch in Syria. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who would, of course, become Paul the Apostle. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, amen. Not the church committee, not the church board, not the congregational voting, but the Holy Spirit said, amen. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then, having fasted and prayed, He laid hands on them, and they sent them away. Now, just those three short verses, I find, again, three evidences of a church under new management. Number one, I find diversity. And that's a word that's thrown around a lot today, diversity. You know, you need to be diverse in all of this. But Antioch was definitely a diverse place. It was made up, a city made up of Jews and Gentiles, people from all over the world. And they had a church staff that reflected the city that they were in. And they had diversity in that staff that I want to point out to you. That was threefold, ethnically, economically, and educationally. They were diverse. Say ethnically because the Bible, we just read that there was Barnabas and Manaen and Saul that were there. And these three were Jewish. And but there was also Simeon. Simeon, whose name was Niger. Niger in Latin means black. The New Living Translation, if you have that version, says that he was a black man. Amen. More melanin than the rest of them. Amen. Possibly, some people think that this was possibly Simon of Cyrene that was demanded. They demanded him, rather, the Romans did, to carry the cross of Jesus when Jesus fell under the burden of the cross. They pointed out and said, hey, you carry the cross. They pointed to a man, his name was Simon of Cyrene in Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. We don't know that for sure, but this man's name was Simeon here, it says, and it says that his name in Latin was Niger, which means black. And so, he also had Lucius, who was from Cyrene. Cyrene, of course, is the north coast of Africa. So there was diversity in not only the church, but also in the church staff, you see there. And this is not a knock on the churches that are predominantly Anglo or predominantly African American, predominantly Hispanic. It's not a knock on them at all. It's just to show the fact that, you know what, our color doesn't matter. Amen. And that it's all about Jesus Christ. We're all one in him. And so ethnically, that didn't seem to matter to them. They were all together there and even on the church staff, if you will, at Antioch. And they were diverse economically as well. In most congregations, there is diversity economically. You've got people who have a lot of money, and some of us want some of their money. Amen. So we just, you know, we have a wide range and all in between, you know, middle income and the whole deal, the whole gamut. And we find that here as well because it doesn't tell us, you know, what their economic levels were, not that it was even important, but I think it's interesting to point out that Manaen was there. Manaen, the Bible says, historians, actually, the Bible tells us here, but historians also confirm that he was raised with Herod. Now, which Herod is this? It's not Herod the Great. It's not Herod Antipas, Herod Agrippa. Herod Agrippa was, of course, one of the Herod the Great's sons, but it was another Herod, Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was the same Herod that had John the Baptist beheaded. In Matthew chapter 14, he was raised with Herod Antipas. And Manaen was considered, historians tell us, to be a foster brother of Antipas. That's how close he was to the family. He was raised with him, educated in the ways of Rome was Manaen. I mean, he came from aristocracy, royalty, Roman royalty. And yet, the riches of Rome paled in comparison in his life to the riches that he found in Jesus Christ. Well, what a great testimony that is. This man could have had it all. You know, the known power and the richest nation and all that, the Roman Empire. He could have had it all, but he traded it in, amen, for the riches that are in Christ. And why not? And Jesus said, and of course we have heard it many times before in Mark 8 and other places, he said, For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his own soul? Amen. You know, I've been reading in the news lately, not that I look for it, but a lot of these young rappers that are dying prematurely in their 20s, 21, 22 years old, men and women, you know, the rappers, and they're supposed to have everything the world offers, and they've overdosed on drugs or committed suicide. Some woman, a very beautiful woman, you know, admired by the world, that committed suicide. And part of the reason she committed suicide because of the quarantine and all this kind of stuff, being by herself. And she had everything to look forward to, God, looks and all these things, and yet she took her life. It's sad. What does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and yet lose their own soul? Jesus asked the question. Lastly, we find here that they had diversity economically, ethnically, and also educationally. And we know that these five staff members they were not sure about two of the five, I should say, two of the five staff members we're not sure of, but we do know about three of them. We know that Paul was educated, a highly educated Pharisee. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3 there, Paul says, hey, if anybody has anything to boast in, I do. I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know. Concerning the law, I was blameless. But Paul said, I count all that as dung that I might gain the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, but he was a highly educated Pharisee. And then, of course, Manaen was educated through Roman, had an aristocratic Roman education. And then there was Barnabas. Barnabas was there as well. And Barnabas, the Bible tells us, remember, in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, that Barnabas was a Levite. Acts 4, verse 36 says he was a Levite. What's a Levite? Well, of the tribe of Levi. And the Levites were appointed to be assistants to the temple priest. And so he was educated in the Levitical law, educated in the temple practices and all, and of course in the law of Moses. But all these different backgrounds and educations, and yet there was a oneness despite their diversity. I want you to see that today, because we could say the same thing about Calvary Worship Center this morning. Amen. A diverse group, and yet there is unity. Why? Because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And notice something here. As I was thinking about this, I thought, wow, you know, they're diverse, you know, ethnically and educationally and economically and all that. And all of this before diversity seminars and diversity classes. And I'm not against diversity seminars and diversity classes, but it makes me wonder sometimes, why do we need to teach in the church diversity when we ought to be taught by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Who teaches us how to love each other? Why does the church need to be reminded to love your black brother, your white brother, your brown brother? Why does it need to happen in the church? And I think it's because we have forgotten to have gratitude toward the Lord, and we've forgotten to love as Jesus has loved us.
On that important note, we'll pause here at the midway point of today's broadcast of The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al will be back in a few moments with part two. On behalf of Pastor Al, I would like to ask you to consider becoming a financial partner with us. Your consistent financial support enables us to keep this radio ministry moving forward. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now let's return to today's message as Pastor Al addresses the topic of racial unrest and the Black Lives Matter movement.
They asked Jesus about divorce, and Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart, God gave you the right to divorce. And he said, but it was not so in the beginning. That's not God's plan. And I think because of the hardness of our hearts, we need to have diversity classes to remind us of something that ought to be natural within the church. Amen? Amen? And I'm not putting it down. I mean, go ahead and teach diversity, whatever. You know, you want to go to a class like that because you don't know how to be diverse? I mean, God bless you. But it's a natural part of walking in the Spirit and of being in fellowship with Jesus Christ. But because of the hardness of our hearts, we don't even know how to do that. We've forgotten how to be genuine in our gratitude toward God and our love toward one another. I say gratitude toward God because when you really stop and think about who you are and how God saved you, you know, you have to say with David, who am I and who is my family that the Lord should be this good to me? You have to look in the mirror and go, who am I that God will save a wretch? I know years ago there was a movement to take that out of the song Amazing Grace. We don't say wretch, that's putting people down. I was a wretch. A wretch like me, amen, that God saved me. Why would he even spend time with me? He saved me, and when I understand fully that he saved a wretch like me, I have gratitude and thanksgiving in my heart, and I dare not look down my nose at someone else because they're different than I am. Because I have gratitude in my heart. Gratitude. Thanksgiving toward God. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. We've forgotten gratitude. We've forgotten love. We've forgotten to love. We'd rather criticize rather than empathize. Rather criticize rather than empathize. It's easy to criticize. But to empathize might mean I have to sacrifice something. I have to take time to listen to you. Amen? Guys, you know that. When your wife is talking to you, you just can't wait till she stops talking so you can make your point, because what you have to say is more important than anything she said for the last 15 minutes. Amen. God help us. We need to repent. But when you listen with empathize, then you seek to understand. And where there's understanding in the church, that we can overcome our differences. Where there's gratitude in church, we can overcome our differences. Jesus warned us about such a time as this. Matthew 24, he said, in the last days, he said, and then many will be offended. It's almost like the Lord's been reading our mail. Many will be offended. People are offended about everything. I mean, just, it's crazy. But he said, many will be offended. And because of all offense, you know, when you don't forgive folks, with a little gratitude and love in your heart, they will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. What's abounding today in America? Lawlessness. We even got calls for, we got to disband, you know, defund the police department. I don't defund my police department. I'm sorry. I just, because the scripture tells us to obey authority that is over us, but it also says that the rulers over us do not bear the sword in vain. In other words, there are rules and regulations that we must obey. They don't have laws in vain. If you break the speed limit, you break the law. Amen. The laws are in place to bring order in society. People actually think they can govern themselves. We cannot, as human beings, govern ourselves because we are sinners with a sinful nature. We cannot govern ourselves. Look what's happening in Seattle right now. They talk about governing themselves, and then they send out a request for Gatorade and cigarettes. Govern yourself then. But they can't govern themselves, and we think that we don't need laws. If we don't have laws, we have anarchy. We'll kill each other. We are a nation of laws, so there might be order. And God is a God of order. The devil is the God of confusion. Amen. So we have lawlessness abounding. And what does lawlessness produce? I don't know. Who feels more free now that we have lawlessness? Who feels more secure now that there's lawlessness? That the police cannot even do their job. I feel sorry. Pray for our police officers. I didn't say all of them were right. I didn't say all of them were perfect, because they're human beings like you. They're flawed. But pray for them. These guys and men and women are afraid to do their jobs. Pray for them. I wouldn't want to be a police officer today. But God bless those who are. We need to pray for them and lift them up, because we need order in our society. And when lawlessness abounds, people get whacked. They're crazy. We need rules and regulations. If you have rules and regulations, you couldn't even got here this morning. You wouldn't even been here at church, because somebody had been driving on the wrong side of the road. Somebody had been at that red light and said, you know what, I don't want to wait on red light. In fact, red is not my favorite color. If they put my favorite color up here, I would stop and go right through the light and hit somebody. We need laws to govern us. But because lawlessness will abound, what? The love of many will grow cold. And do we not see the love of many? We're more polarized today in our culture than ever before in my lifetime. It's like the Lord's been reading our mail. That's the world, but in the church it ought to be different. We ought to love one another. And if we're not careful, that spirit can sneak into the church and we can start acting that way toward one another just like the world. And the Bible says, you have not so learned Christ. It ought not to be. The love of Jesus residing within our hearts, it transcends our differences, and it produces healing where once hatred and hurt once resided. His love transcends our pain. See, we're kingdom people. Need I remind the church of this? We're kingdom people. Because there's believers on Facebook and everything else sounding like the world. We're to love. I didn't say you didn't have emotions and say you couldn't get angry about that. I get angry. The Bible says be angry, but sin not. Anger is a human emotion, but sin not. Be angry, but don't throw a brick and break somebody's window. You can be angry, and you can care. You cast your cares on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. But here's love. 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The old illustration works so well, and that is, when you put our name in there alone, it doesn't read so well. Al suffers long and is kind. When he's had enough sleep, ask my wife. Al does not envy, but he complains a lot. Al does not parade himself about, he's not puffed up, but gets offended sometimes when maybe someone says, you're wrong. Does not behave rudely, unless I got some place to go and things to do. Amen. I'll stop right there, all right? I'm indicting myself before the whole church. I'm just saying, but when you put Jesus in there, come on. Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade himself about. He's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus bears all things. Jesus believes all things. Jesus hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. Jesus never fails. Amen. Now it flows. Amen. Now it flows.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman and a message from Al's series through the book of Acts. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord and join us for another study in Acts next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.